Welcome to Money Mastery with your host, Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. Achieving financial confidence means understanding how to navigate market changes, plan for retirement, and make smart money decisions. Money Mastery is here to guide you with strategies, insights, and tools designed to help you pursue your financial goals. Now let's get started with Money Mastery with your host, Amanda.
Hello and welcome to Money Mastery. My name is Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. And while at my website, click on the radio page to check out past shows and to subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. There's a question I get asked more than almost any other, and it usually sounds something like this: am I behind? Sometimes people ask about a specific goal. Sometimes it's more about a general feeling or a nagging sense that maybe retirement isn't as far away as it could or used to feel. And maybe the savings aren't where they should be. So today we're going to try and answer that question honestly with real data and with real strategies for what to do next. Let me bring in my co-host, Jacqueline, who's always helpful with these conversations and keeps him grounded.
Well, thank you, Amanda. And you're right that this is one of those topics that makes people a little uncomfortable because it involves comparing yourself to others and taking an honest look at your own numbers. But I think that discomfort can actually be useful. So let's get into it.
So during our show today, we'll be pulling up data and insights from a recent Kiplinger article that's headlined "The Average Retirement Savings by Age." And what I want to say up front, that this isn't about making anyone feel bad. I think the most important thing we can do today is give people an honest picture of where the country stands and then talk about what to do about it. Because the numbers tell a story, and I believe understanding that story is the first step towards writing a better one for yourself.
Yes. So let's start with the basics, Amanda. When we say retirement savings, what exactly are we counting or looking at?
So that's a great place to actually start. We're talking about the accounts people set aside specifically for retirement, including 401ks, IRAs, Roth IRAs, HSAs, used as an investment vehicle, and after-tax brokerage accounts earmarked for the future. We're not counting home equity or other assets in this conversation, just the money that's been intentionally put to work for retirement. And there's an important distinction in how we look at those numbers versus the median.
Well, can you break that down for us?
The mean is what most people think of as average. With this, you add everything up and divide it by the number of people. The median is the middle number. So half of those people are above it and half are below. When you're looking at retirement savings in America, the mean can be pretty misleading because a relatively small number of very wealthy households can pull that average way up. I think the median gives us a much more honest picture of what the typical American actually has. And the median tells a sobering story and also a motivating one if you let it be.
All right, that makes sense, Amanda. So let's get into the data then. Walk us through what the Federal Reserve numbers show, you know, age group by age group.
So let's start with the youngest workers, or those under 35. The median retirement savings of that group is $18,350. The mean is closer to $49,000, which again is a big gap and tells you there are some high earners pulling that number up. But for the most people under 35, right around 18,000 is the number.
Well, so how should someone feel about that number, Amanda?
So I think context matters here a lot. So for a 25-year-old just finding their footing, 18,000 is a solid start, especially if it's growing in a tax-advantaged account. So for a 34-year-old with higher income, it might be time to press the accelerator. But here's the thing. The most powerful asset someone under 35 has isn't money. It's time. We'll be coming back to this why and how that matters immensely.
Well, let's move up to the next age group, Amanda. How about ages 35 to 44?
So the median jumps to 45,000 for that group. The mean is about 141,000. So again, a wide spread here. By the mid 30s to early 40s, I believe people should ideally have somewhere between 1 and 3 times their annual salary saved. For a lot of people, 45,000 is behind that benchmark, but it's not too late or not too close. The compounding engine is still running strong in this decade.
Well, and then 45 to 54 then?
Now, we're in the thick of the peak earning years here. So the median savings is $115,000. The mean is $313,000. I think this is often the wake-up call decade for some people here. The kids might be leaving the house. The mortgage might be a little bit more manageable. And suddenly people look at their retirement accounts and realize there's some catch-up to do here. So the good news is that this decade, where incomes tend to be a little bit higher, there's going to be targeted contributions that can make up real differences.
Yes. Well, Amanda, let's take a quick pause here. And before we keep going with today's conversation, please let our listeners know how they can schedule a complimentary consultation to ask questions or to get more information.
So just give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. Schedule a consultation only takes a few minutes, and we're always happy to work around your schedule.
Well, thank you, Amanda. And now let's address the home stretch, which is ages 55 to 64.
So I think this is a number I think deserves the most attention today. The median retirement savings for people ages 55 to 64 and are in this decade are a little less from retirement is about $185,000. The mean is $537,000. But the median or the number that reflects what most people in this group actually has is $185,000.
Wow. So the difference between $185,000 and $537,000. That contrast, you know, is against what people think they really need to retire.
That's right. So according to the recent survey data noted in this article, the so-called magic number Americans think they need to retire comfortably in 2026 is 1.46 million. That's actually up 200,000 from last year's figures. But when you put those two numbers side by side, 185,000 median savings versus 1.46 million target, you can see why this conversation actually matters here and why so many people feel the way that they do when they look at their statements.
Yeah, that gap is significant, Amanda. What about people who are already 65 and maybe older?
So two groups here, ages 65 to 74, median savings of 200,000 is actually a bit higher than the 55 to 64 group, which tells you some people are still contributing and growing their accounts in early retirement. Then 75 and over, the median drops to 130, which makes sense here because people are drawing down their savings at this point. What I think is worth noting is that even in retirement, the picture isn't statistics. So how you manage distributions when you claim Social Security and how you handle healthcare costs actually shapes that territory.
Well, what's the headline takeaway from all of these numbers then?
So I think the takeaway here is that most Americans are on track to retire with the kind of savings that financial benchmarks suggest they need. And that's not a moral failure here. It's a real shape by strategy wages, cost of living pressures, life events, and healthcare system that can wipe out savings quickly and a lot of other factors beyond individual control. But the data is what it is. And I believe that most helpful things that we can do is to take an honest look and then talk about what actually is available to people.
Well, let's talk also about the why, because I think a lot of listeners are going to hear those numbers and wonder how we got here as a country.
So a few reasons worth understanding. So first, and this surprises a lot of people, more than half of American households support having no dedicated retirement savings at all. Zero. None. Now, when you're looking at people who are actively contributing to 401ks or IRAs, the numbers look better. So the total assets in retirement accounts in the U.S. recently crossed over $49 trillion, which is a staggering amount here. But the gap between consistent savers and everyone else is part of what makes the national picture so uneven here.
So why aren't more people saving, Amanda?
So it's rarely because people don't want to. I think for most people, it comes down to cash flow, rent, childcare, healthcare, student loans. The basics of life actually consumes the budget, especially in your 20s and 30s. And for a long time, many employees didn't offer retirement plans or offered plans that employees didn't understand or didn't trust. So automatic enrollment has helped a lot here. And it's relatively recently a new development.
Well, there's also a behavioral piece, right, Amanda? I mean, the way that we're just naturally wired to think about the future.
Absolutely. So we tend to respond to what's urgent over what's important. So retirement is important, but it doesn't feel urgent until suddenly it does. And by the time it feels urgent, some of the most powerful tools available, particularly compounding growth over multiple decades, are no longer on the table in the same way. That's why I believe starting early is so crucial, not because the amount has to be large, but because time has an immensely amount of the heavy lifting.
Let's really dig into that compounding piece. You know, we talk about snowball effect or ripple effect, because I think that's one of those concepts that people hear a lot, but don't always really know how it works.
So here's a hypothetical. I think really putting this into perspective. So $10,000 invested at age 30, assuming a 7% average annual return, grows to roughly $106,000 by the age 65. That same $10,000 invested at age 45 grows to about $38,000. Same money, same return rate, but 15 fewer years of compounding makes nearly a $70,000 difference on a single $10,000 investment. Now, multiply that across years of contributions, and you can start to understand why time is the single most valuable asset as a young investor in what they have. I think that point can't be made often enough.
Well, and the flip side of that is that it's also never too late to do something, right, Amanda?
That's the other side of this conversation, and it's equally important. So that compounding argument is not meant to make people who start late feel hopeless. It's meant to motivate people who haven't started yet, because every dollar that goes in today starts compounding today. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is right now. I think that applies perfectly to retirement savings.
I like that. Now, let's get practical, Amanda. For listeners at different life stages, what can they actually do right now?
So let's walk through it by decade, because the strategies are a bit different depending on where you are.
Well, let's start with my age group, the 20s and 30s.
So in your 20s and 30s, the single most important move is actually simply is to start. So every small contribution matters because of compounding. Two specific moves I think are worth highlighting here is first, if your employee offers a 401k match. So contribute at least enough to capture that full match. That's an immediate 100% return on your money because the market doesn't have to do anything. You can't beat that anywhere. So second is what I call the raise rule. So every time you get a salary increase, commit half of that raise to your retirement contribution because it never touches your checking account. You take what you take home still goes up, but it does your future good, and you never build lifestyle expectations around the money you redirect.
The second one is subtle, but really powerful, Amanda.
Lifestyle inflation is one of the quieter enemies of retirement savings. People get a raise, their spending expands to match it, and the net change of their their savings rate is zero. So if you automatic a portion of every raise before it hits your account, you sidestep that problem entirely. It's one of those strategies that actually sounds simple, but can add up to tens of thousands of dollars over your career.
I really like that strategy. Let's move up an age group. And what about people in their 40s?
So the 40s is what I think is the front load decade. So they're likely earning more than what you were in your 30s. The compounding clock is still running here. And if you can push hard now, you can set yourself up for a coast a little bit later. So for 2026, the 401k contribution limit is $24,500 for most people. If your cash flow allows it, I believe maxing that out should be a priority. And if you can do it earlier in the year rather than spreading it across 12 months, you can actually get 12 months and you can get more time in the market, which, as we've established, actually matters.
And there's also something called the 15-year horizon. Isn't that right, Amanda?
Yeah, I like to think of it this way. So if you can be aggressively funding your retirement accounts between the ages of 45 and 50, the compounding effect over the next 15 years could potentially double that balance, even if you have to scale back contributions later in your 50s to cover other life expenses. So the goal is to get enough money working for you that you're not entirely dependent on continuing contributions to reach your target. You want that portfolio doing some of the work for you.
And so the 50s then, as you've said before, Amanda, is the catch-up contribution decade.
This is a real valuable tool here that we believe that more people should be actively using. Once you turn 50, the IRS allows you to contribute extra money beyond the standard limits to your tax advantage retirement accounts. So for your 401k in 2026, that's an additional $8,000 on top of that standard limit. So bring your total possible contribution to $32,500 for the year. So for IRAs, the 2026 contribution limit is $7,500 with a $1,100 catch-up provision that brings your total annual contribution to $8,600. So if you're behind, these higher ceilings make it more meaningful difference across a 10 to 15 year time stretch.
And Amanda, is there an even more generous provision for people in the early 60s?
So this one is generally underestimated. And I think it's because people don't know it actually exists. So thanks to recent retirement legislation, if you're between the ages of 60 and 63, there is actually a super catch-up provision that allows you for an even higher contribution ceiling. So for 2026, that's $11,250 in additional catch-up contributions to your 401k. So bringing that total annual contribution limit to $35,750. That is a significant amount of money. And for someone in the age window who has the cash flow to take advantage of it, it could actually be a real game changer in that final stretch before retirement.
Well, Amanda, what about people who are already near or in retirement and that balance just isn't what that they, you know, had hoped it would be?
So when it actually comes to Social Security, the goal isn't just to delay. It's to figure out the right claiming strategy for the individual situation. And that takes some analysis. So for many people, delaying does pay off. And for every year you wait past your full retirement age up to age 70, your monthly payment grows by 8%. That's meaningful here. So government-backed increase. And if you're married, a higher benefit for you also means a higher survivor benefit for your spouse, which is an important piece here of the picture as well. So the right timing depends on your health, your other income sources, and your household's overall plan. So a financial services professional can actually help you model the options and find the approach that makes the most sense for your circumstance.
Well, and that's a powerful lever that I think gets often overlooked.
It does. And one of the most important things here worth mentioning is downsizing earlier than you think you might need to. So if your kids are moved out and you're carrying a home that's larger than you need, the equity in that home plus the reduction in property taxes insurance, and maintenance costs can free up significant cash flow. So some of that could actually go towards your retirement contributions or simply reduce your monthly burn rate in retirement. It's a conversation worth having with a financial services professional who can model it out for your specific situation.
Well, and that's a really good way to frame it, Amanda, because it ties back to everything that we've talked about today, including compounding, catch-up strategies, Social Security timing, and just having an honest picture of where you stand. It all connects. So before we wrap up, can you remind our listeners how they can get in touch with you?
So I think that's right. So if anything we've talked about here today has raised questions, whether you're wondering how we can compare those numbers we've shared, and if you'd like to sit down, take a closer look at where things stand for you, give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. We can walk through this in a single conversation, and we're always happy to work around your schedule.
Well, thanks so much, Amanda. And thank you to our listeners and everyone who joined us today. You know, these are important conversations, and we're so glad that you're having them with us.
We'll see you next week on Aspire Money Management.
Thank you for listening to Money Mastery with Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you're ready to take the next step toward a stronger financial future, contact Amanda and her team today at 919-342-7715 or visit aspiremoneymanagement.net. Be sure to tune in next week for more financial strategies and insights right here on Money Mastery.